Well, here in Spain, it's time to join Chris McCann from Blevins Franks. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm very well, thanks, Howard. And yourself?
I'm very well. I've been keeping very busy.
Good.
Yeah. Well, there's only a few days left in February, and then we're into March, which is the time of the year that many residents have to complete and submit their Modelo 720 forms, declaring the financial assets they own outside Spain. So today, Chris will explain what this form is and whether you have to submit one this year or not. First of all, Chris, since some of our listeners will be new to Spain, can you briefly summarise what Form 720 is and when and why it was introduced?
I will, Howard. Well, look, for those listeners that are new to Spain, I think it's fair to say that the coming Modelo 720 season is not my favourite time of the year. It's rather frustrating. However, as regards the history, going back to October 2012, it became mandatory for all residents of Spain, where relevant, to complete this form called a Modelo 720. In brief, the form needs to be submitted by the 31st of March each year and requires individuals to provide details of assets owned outside of Spain only as at the 31st of December of the previous year. It's not a tax return and it's not related to the payment of taxes. It's purely an informative document. So the Spanish authorities know what you own outside of Spain. As regards why it was introduced, the financial crisis of 2007 had a significant impact on the Spanish economy. And typically, following such events, governments and regulators will try to find ways to prevent similar events from happening again. So when the crisis hit Spain, a lot of focus was put on dealing with tax evasion. And the Spanish government, like many others in the world, intensified the search for undeclared assets that were hidden from the state. Amongst other initiatives, this resulted in the introduction of the form Modelo 720. The idea was that if everybody reported the existence of their properties, investments, and cash deposits outside of Spain, it would be very difficult for them not to declare the income and gains derived from them on their annual tax returns. If an asset was not reported and later found to exist, it would be assumed that an attempt was being made to hide the asset from the tax authorities, and the source of the assets was illegal, and thus the whole amount would be taxed as late reported earned income, and in addition, would be subject to significant late payment fees and penalties.
Let's go through the basics rules now. Since this applies to tax residents, what makes you a tax resident of Spain?
Well, as many people think, it's not simply a case of counting the number of days that you spend in Spain. Under Spanish domestic law, you're resident for tax purposes if any of the following applies. Firstly, you spend more than 183 days in Spain cumulatively in a calendar year. Secondly, your centre of economic interests is in Spain, meaning that your economic or professional activities are based in Spain. Or finally, your centre of vital interests is in Spain, meaning that your spouse and or your minor children live in Spain. If you qualify under either rule, as there's no split year treatment in Spain, you'll be considered tax resident for the whole calendar year.
Do all residents have to complete a Modelo 720, even if they don't have many or any assets outside Spain?
Not all Spanish residents will need to complete one. To determine who completes and who doesn't, you need to consider three categories. Firstly, accounts held with financial institutions, such as banks. Secondly, investments. And thirdly, immovable property. If the value of your total assets in a category, in one of those three categories, amounts to over 50,000 euros, you will need to submit and declare all assets in that category. Alternatively, if your assets in each of the three categories amount to less than 50,000 euros, you will not need to submit. Now, interestingly, with joint assets, if the combined value is more than 50,000 euros, each owner needs to declare the combined value and indicate their percentage of ownership, even if their individual share is less than 50,000 euros.
Sounds a bit complicated. So how are those assets valued? What happens if they're in sterling or another non-euro currency?
It is relatively complicated, and that's why I recommend that listeners do speak to an accountant, an assessor fiscal, when before they try to fill the way. Well, in actual fact, you need an assessor fiscal to fill the form in for you. So it's worth having a discussion with an assessor fiscal before. Look, different assets are valued using the wealth tax rules. In other words, different assets are valued in different ways, to complicate things further. Just to give a few examples, bank accounts are valued using the average account balance over the last 3 months of the year. Most investments are valued using their current values, but where encashment penalties apply, the value to report is the surrender value, i.e. the current value less encashment penalties. Properties are valued using their purchase prices. So as I've suggested, what listeners should do is speak with their accountants, who should explain exactly what's required in relation to each asset that needs to be reported. In all cases, investments held in other currencies need to be converted to euros using the official exchange rate. Again, listeners, accountants should be able to help with this.
The deadline for submitting your Modello 720 is the 31st of March each year, so in around a month's time. If someone completed one last year, do they need to do it again this year?
Not necessarily. For those who have already completed a Modello 720, you will only need to submit another if, firstly, the value of the total assets in a category has increased in value by more than 20,000 euros. Or you sold an asset or closed an account that appeared on a previous report, a previous Modello 724. Or you obtained a new asset within any category.
Modello 720 was controversial right from the start, particularly because of the penalties for late or incomplete filing were so high. So much so that Spain was taken to the European Court of Justice and lost the case. So what has changed since the ECJ ruling?
Well, just as an update, in January 2022, the European Court of Justice ruled that Spain had infringed the European principle of free movement of capital, that the penalties were extremely repressive and disproportionately high, and that the absence of the application of the statute of limitations to the tax obligations infringed upon European principles of law. Now, further to these rulings, the Modello 720 legislation was amended by law in two key ways. Firstly, the disproportionately high fines that previously applied have been eliminated, with Spanish members of parliament having voted for the maximum fines to be reduced from 150% of the value to a maximum of 50% of the value of any undeclared assets. Secondly, it's now subject to the statute of limitations of general tax law, which means that any tax debts become barred by statute after 4 years. In other words, Now any misconduct will only be punishable for 4 years, as is the case with other fiscal crimes.
Do you think the Spanish tax authorities go through everyone's form, and what they do with the information?
To be honest, Howard, I have no idea. All I could say is if I work for the Spanish tax office, I know what I'd be doing with them. I think I'd be cross-checking them against individuals' tax returns to see whether or not their tax returns have been properly completed. In recent annual enforcement plans, the Spanish tax authorities have stated quite clearly that there will be an unprecedented use of IT tools and big data to profile taxpayers and determine specific individuals targeted for audits and inspection procedures. So based on these types of announcements, I would fully expect the Spanish tax authorities to be using information included in Modelo 720s to help with these types of activities. I think it's fair to say that the Spanish tax authorities, as with all tax authorities across the globe, have no choice but to try to collect more tax to help cover the cost of the pandemic and other expensive operations they've undertaken recently. And these types of initiatives will likely become more commonplace.
Do you have any other advice for our listeners about the implications of Modelo 720 or how to make their life easier when completing it each year?
Yeah, look, for listeners who've already completed the form, I'm sure they'll agree that it can be a timely and frustrating process, especially if you own a significant number of assets outside of Spain. One way to make the process easier is to simplify your affairs. I think it's fair to say that most of our clients who've taken advice and restructured their affairs to improve their positions invariably end up with much simpler affairs. And so completing the Modelo 720 normally becomes a much simpler process for them. Given the reason for its introduction, it goes without saying that it's also important to ensure that your tax affairs are in order. So if listeners would like to discuss their obligations in relation to the Modelo 720 or their wider financial planning arrangements with a local Blevins Franks partner, please feel free to contact us. Listeners can always, as always, visit our website, blevinsfranks.com, where they can find the contact details of all our local partners. If they prefer, they can also complete a contact form on our website, and a local Blevins Franks partner will be in touch as soon as possible to arrange the most appropriate next step.
Chris, I understand you have some seminars coming up on the Costa del Sol soon. Can you provide any details? And will other areas have seminars too this spring?
Post-Brexit, a problem for many British expatriates is that their UK advisors are no longer able to look after them. Firstly, in most cases, they're no longer regulated to provide advice to Spanish resident clients. And in many cases, they don't have sufficient local knowledge to provide suitable bespoke advice. To allow listeners to meet with our locally based advisors and better understand how we provide advice to our Spanish-based clients, we will be holding a number of small group sessions in the Costa del Sol. These sessions will be held in our local offices in La Cala de Mijas on the 12th of March, and in our offices in Marbella on the 19th and the 20th of March. If listeners would like to attend, they can book online via our website, blevinsfranks.com, or they could call us on 952-198-029. And as regards seminars in other areas, yes, we will be holding seminars on the Costa Blanca and Balearics in April, though they may be in relation to different topics. And we'll, of course, advise listeners once they're open for booking.
Many thanks, Chris. Always a pleasure. We'll talk again in about 3 weeks' time.
Thank you very much, Howard. Look forward to it. Bye for now.